Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with midwifery business consultation. I have Stacy Carruth here as a certified professional midwife and runs Midwives Advantage. I'm going to put at the link below the detailed video if you want to get to know Stacy really well. We are creating a series over the next few months of common topics her and I get asked about billing and coding for midwives. And we wanted to make a resource because it's so important. If midwives, you know, there's a few outliers that do the Amish and the Mennonites and religious affiliations that are cash, but most midwives now, if they want to survive in today's healthcare system, have to understand billing and coding, or at least have an amazing biller on their team to get paid and have their families get a good chunk of their insurance to cover it.
Yes. People want to take advantage of their insurance benefits. You know, they pay their premiums, they pride themselves on having jobs with good benefits and good insurance, and people need to be able to take advantage of those resources. And many midwives are just lost in that area. You know, they want to focus on caring for women and babies. And really, it's like many times when you multitask, you're really not multitasking. You're doing several things mediocrely. You know, you're doing several things not well. Yeah. And it's a lot of midwives do start out trying to do their own billing, and then they start looking for a way to outsource that because it is a full-time job.
Yeah. Well, and that's the big stress. And I think that's why you and I are so passionate about these conversations. We want to inspire business owners. We don't want to, I don't want to inspire self-employment, because the big difference is midwives need to stop exchanging our time for money. We only have so many hours in the day, and that's where burnout happens. We need to create a foundation where we're leveraging the experts. I always talk about creating your mastermind team. You want to have the best billers, accountants, financial planners, marketers on your team. There is a lot they know in their head. Let's leverage that. So you run Midwives Advantage. It's a great billing company. There's quite a few across the country. We stress, like, find one that fits for you. Get to know all of them. You're a phone call away, an email away. So the conversation I wanted to go over today was the ICD-10 coding or the procedures, and then the ICD-10 diagnosis codes and the CPT procedure codes, because how important they are in the uniqueness of midwives. If you just do a high level definition of both, and then we'll dive in.
Oh, well, that's easy. Yeah. Well, I'll just say, for everyone needs their resource material, this is the book, the hard copy book. Of course, we have electronic versions, but that has all the CPT codes in it.
We joke it's the billing Bible. Like, if you're going to bill yourself, you need that book.
And actually, anyone can buy these, and I'll provide the link, but it's InHealth. And this is 2018. Someone else has the more current one. I don't do the billing anymore, so I get the old versions for some reason.
You're the business owner. You hired the team. Yes, I get that 100%.
There's other things like, you know, this is OB-GYN, Comprehensive Illustrated Guide to Coding and Reimbursement. And, you know, it's just full of every code and everything you could ever do. Those are CPT, that's current procedural terminology. They're a 5-digit code that represents the action of a healthcare provider toward a patient. It's, you know, there's a code for a hysterectomy, a tonsillectomy, just office exam, those kinds of things. In every code, what we say is the claim tells a story. You're telling a story to the insurance company. Mary Smith came in, her date of birth is this, she's this old, she's, you know, pregnant. The diagnosis codes are kind of the adjectives, and they're telling you what part of the body she had an ailment in and what the problem was. Does she have a fever? Does she have a migraine? Does she have spotting? You know, if she has spotting and she's pregnant, what trimester? Just the entire claim tells the story. And then this is the book for the diagnosis codes. And
So ICD-10, it used to be ICD-9. Didn't it switch over in like 2016 and went from a lot more? So ICD-10 are the diagnosis codes. CPT are your services, your procedure, the care you're directly giving. And they're both very, very important.
Yes, they are. And I will give you some links for midwives if there's some free resources online to look up some codes. You can go down rabbit trails real easily, but
yeah, but I've got some great blog posts I plan on putting that I talk about the common codes and the ones outside. So yeah, I've got some great blog posts over the last couple of years on these topics. So yes, we will put lots of resources for people. But as far as like with midwives being so unique, kind of go into the rabbit hole of the challenges we have compared to other industries with doing our diagnosis and procedure codes.
I don't know that I think it's a whole lot different.
I guess maybe the thinking I had was the uniqueness, because we've got a setting, we're minorities in the billing system. So a lot of times we're educating the insurance companies, we're doing, so when I think of it, like most midwives, we run a unique role where we're billing codes that mostly a pediatrician does for the baby, or we're billing in the home or birth center that's a tiny percent of the delivery. So I wouldn't say it's, we're such a minority in the bigger billing system that there's sometimes hurdles or sometimes some barriers yes. that we have to bridge with the insurance companies.
You can run into just software edits that kick out your claim that it's not, you know, I don't think it's intentionally discriminatory. It's just they've set their edits, you know, like you wouldn't do a tonsillectomy, pardon me, at home. You wouldn't do a hip replacement in a home setting. And many of the insurance company have the birth codes are actually in the surgery category. And I really investigated that several years ago and asked several different insurance companies to explain to me why a vaginal delivery was considered surgery. We'd see it on an EOB. It would say surgery. And I would just say, you know, this was billed 59400, the CPT code of 59409 or 59410, and that's not surgical. And once I got to the rationale behind it, it kind of makes sense. It comes down to cutting the umbilical cord is a surgical procedure because you've cut skin, you've cut flesh. And I was like, oh, well, once I understood their rationale, but there again, home isn't typically a place you would think of surgery. And we would agree on a hip replacement. No one wants someone to be on the kitchen table and, you know, replacing their femur. But that's where some of the education comes in with the insurance companies. And we've, over the past 10 years, we've done, put a huge dent in it to get them to modify some of their software edits where the codes didn't get rejected quite so much.
Well, and it's important, but not just for the midwife, when an explanation of benefit comes to the patient, you can cause some tension and anxiety because they're like, I didn't have surgery. I didn't deliver here. I didn't have this description. They've affiliated with those codes. And so you yes. want to have good conversations with your patients and have a good relationship for the yes. whole process. And it,
warn them it is, ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one thing you and I talked about, it's easy if she's normal, healthy pregnancy, you've taken care of her the whole time, mm-hmm. the day of delivery, you bill the global maternity care. But there's sometimes those unique situations where midwives, especially if there's primary care outside of the birth or a transfer, those conversations get a little muddy of like, how do I do ICD-10? How do I do the CPT codes in these unique situations?
Yes. So Do you have a specific question?
So one specific question, let's go prenatally. You're taking care of her the whole time and she calls you. She's not coming in for 2 weeks from now for a routine prenatal visit. She has a really bad migraine and she wants to come see you for it. Or all of a sudden she has a sore throat. I know as nurse midwives, we're more comfortable doing primary care in full scope versus maybe a certified professional midwife might send them to their PCP. But I'm just giving the example. We're comfortable doing everything primary care for this lady. So she's coming in to see you today at your clinic, your office, your birth center for some care outside of pregnancy. I think midwives don't give enough credit. Just because you take care of them prenatally, there's charges you can do above and beyond that.
Yes. Yes. So those things, you know, you would charge an office visit and the diagnosis would be the migraine or the sore throat or the fever. And pregnancy is just incidental to that. And there's a code that you add on the claim. It's not a primary code. It's there again, it's telling the story. It's saying, oh, and by the way, you know, yes, she is pregnant. And this is done during what the insurance considers a global period. But there's nothing to say that a woman doesn't have another ailment outside of pregnancy, you know, while she's pregnant. And those you would just bill at the time of service.
Yeah. And I think that's where a lot of midwives are like, I don't know why this got denied, because in our logical mind, we're listing everything she's being seen for. But a lot of times midwives don't understand that principle, that primary diagnosis is what they link to the CPT code. She may have a chronic history, complexity, and all these other symptoms, but you have to have your first one of why you're billing that service today. And that's really important. She could be pregnant. She could have a history of a C-section. She could have all these things, but why are you seeing her today and billing for that?
Yes. Why is it outside of that global maternity care? Yeah, and exactly. the justification. When we train new billers in our company, we're always telling them, you know, code this claim in a way that tells the story correctly, accurately. And, but if you were the person at the insurance company that had the checkbook that was paying the bills, would you look at that claim and say, yes, this is justified? Okay, Mary Smith, she has out-of-network benefits, she has maternity or health care, and she was seen for a migraine or strep throat, and they did a swab, and, you know, then she had a follow-up, you know, would... Does it make sense to you that it's justified and ethical and within the coverage of the policy that you would write a check and pay that claim? If it doesn't make sense to you, like looking from that perspective, it's not going to make sense to them. So step back from it and look and make sure it's complete.
Well, and I think it's helpful for people to understand these codes and these diagnoses are made by CMS guidelines, but each insurance company, if it's a non-government insurance company, they can make their own rules. Like, they're private companies. So it's really important, just because you're like, I consider this a medical necessity, they may not consider that. So you have to understand their rules and you have to learn, not, I don't like to say play the game, but you have to know the ins and outs. It's similar with tax and legal. You have to know the rules that are put in place and how do you abide by them. If they say, well, we don't cover this code in that setting, but we do cover this one, that may not be your usual one to pick, but that's what their rules say. So you have to learn those things.
Well, and yes, you have to accept the fact that they make the rules and you have to play the game by their rules. And most of them really are logical once you think of it. You know, at first we were like, can you believe this? This says surgery. And sometimes certain insurance companies, I think it's UMR, when we bill for a birthing center, or even when we bill facility charges on a home delivery, we can bill for supplies and sterile supplies and birth tub, things like that. They would list it as operating room. And imagine the, you know, we were going, that's not what that code is. It's not operating room. Well, it was just their description. Once we found out that they consider birth surgery because of cutting the cord. That was the operating room. And you're like, oh, that's where the cord was cut. Okay, well, if that's all you mean, we're thinking of an operating room as like the stainless steel table and the big lights and the drain on the floor and the anesthesiologist over here and the scalpels. And they're not. They were just like, no, that's where the skin was cut. And you're like, oh, okay.
Well, and I think as midwives, we want to protect our families, and we have this big feminist movement that birth is normal and natural. And as soon as it gets labeled as medical and surgical, we're just like, we're going to fight the fight to give it this name that birth is normal. And it's just a language. It's like, we can't take offense to it. We can't take it personally. It's learning another language. And I think another unique example is newborn care. Like, midwives tend to not be labeled in a lot of the insurance companies as the provider type, especially if you try to use the traditional code for initial newborn exam at home. Many insurance companies, they took that code out like years ago. So you have to have a conversation. This would be the best code I would pick, but since you don't have it listed in your computer system, you don't recognize it, what is the equivalent I use? So you have a conversation and you make spreadsheets and you learn that relationship with each of your insurance companies. Oh yeah, if you're billing to this insurance, this is the one I would use because of their system.
Yes. And spreadsheets are your best friend. There's no way you could keep up with it otherwise. You have to know what United Healthcare, you know, this is their particular way. Aetna, this is how they do it. Cigna, Jiha, you know, just the various blues.
And then they change it every year. So it's not like it's just you learn it in the beginning and you put it down. So hence why you should have a biller. So thank you, Stacy. Anything else we should add for the high level ICD-10 CPT coding besides just that it's a diagnosis, making sure you document, and how important these parts are the claim process?
One small thing I want to point out is like when we do the place of service, it may be home, but you'll find many insurance companies consider that your office, even though you don't pay the electric bill and there's not a parking lot and a handicapped bathroom, that because you went to that location and provided, you know, diagnosis and treatment or consultation, that's many times the insurance companies consider it an office. So you have that dance where it doesn't seem like it's completely accurate because you're like, no, it's their home. It's just understanding things like that from a different perspective. And
well, and to bring in a little side plug, I think to look at the benefits of COVID and the pandemic, outpatient telemedicine, a lot of these services we were doing in the community are getting more recognized with the billing companies. So if you want to look at a positive spin, it's exposure to outpatient services and getting recognition of these other settings that we used to be more of the minority affiliated with public health nurses and the old school physicians that would still do house calls. But I think with COVID in the last year and a half,
go home and change a dressing or do an IV on someone. You know, that was what most insurance companies allowed at home were things like that, you know, a wound check, you know, vitals, things like that. But now it is the COVID.
Yeah, you just have to argue for a home visit. It wasn't a medical necessity unless they were a paraplegic and couldn't, or wheelchair bound, that they couldn't come to the office. And now it's gotten so much more lax that if you're going to do home visits, they understand, yeah, I want to keep her safe. I want to keep her away from the office, the hospital setting. Like, outpatient services have gotten so much more recognition, which is great for community-based midwifery services. So thank you so much for your time today, Stacy. What are some great ways people can connect with you if they have more questions?
Email info@midwivesadvantage.com.
Perfect. And then I know on your website, we're going to have a lot of great resources. Our YouTube channel will have a ton of videos people can learn from. And I specifically have a billing and coding course. If you really want to learn in depth from Stacy and I some more, you can definitely, the links will be below. Thank you so much, Stacy, for your time today.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.